problems. It's human nature to hate problems. But why is that? After all, problems inspire us to mend things, bend things, make things better. That's why so many people work with IBM on everything, from city traffic to ocean plastic, new schools to new energy, flight delays to food safety. Smart loves problems. IBM. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/smart/UK to learn more.
Rob Parsh, Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioSanctity.com.
Someone tells me that I've hurt their feelings. I say, well, I'm still waiting to hear what your point is.
Right.
I'm very depressed how in this country you can be told, that's offensive, as if those two words constitute an argument or a comment. Not to me, they don't. And I'm not running for anything, so I don't have to pretend to like people when I don't.
Right.
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
I'm Doug Stanhope, and if you're listening to this podcast, don't take my word for it. I got tricked into this in a merch booth.
It's the homemade broadcast.
The what podcast?
The homemade broadcast.
Homemade?
Homemade broadcast.
The homemade podcast.
Yes, sir.
This is very homemade right here. This shit right here got homemade.
Personnel, this is CBTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5...
4, 3, 2, 1. It is the homemade broadcast, HMB Radio on RadioSaintPete.com. Welcome back. My name is Will Koontz. It's the homemade broadcast. Hey, always a joy to speak with you. How are you? Good, good, good. I'm glad to hear it. Certainly glad to hear it. No guests this week, so you get to hear me read out loud. We're talking about offense today. There's lots of stuff in the news I saw about people being offended, and we're going to talk about booze, too, because that's one of my favorite subjects, as I'm sure it is yours. Is there anything better than cracking a few beers on the weekend? I can't think of one. Anything. But I'm not married, and I don't have kids, so maybe that is a joy that I don't know. But as of now, cracking a few beers on the weekend with my broskies. That sounds like the way to go. 813-693-2124 is the voice text line. You can leave a voicemail or a text message there anytime you want, 24/7, 365 days out of the year. And I encourage you to do so because it's always a pleasure to hear from you. If you want to get at me on Twitter or Instagram, it's the same username. And it's home_made_man. Follow Radio St. Pete while you're there as well. Radio STPETE. Radio St. Pete on Instagram and Twitter. Facebook is HMB Radio, all one word. And Radio St. Pete is just Radio St. Pete. And while you're there, follow the Stay Woke page as well. If you search Anna Hummel Radio, I think if you search Stay Woke too, it should show up. But I think it's under Anna's name. And that's on midnights locally here in Tampa Bay on 102.5, The Bone, here locally. You can always listen at theboneonline.com, get the app. You can listen on demand there because the show's on at midnight and you probably sleep like a normal human being. I'm very jealous of you for being able to do that, but, you know, I have a great time doing that show with Anna. So, anyways, this show is brought to you by Tap House 61. Tap House, the number 6, the number 1. www.homemadebroadcast.com. They're located at 2061 Central Avenue right here in St. Petersburg. Wednesday night trivia, the best trivia in town. Just John and his posse down there puts on a great trivia night. Everybody loves trivia. So check that out. But go in on other days besides Wednesdays as well and have yourself a sandwich. The kitchen is now open. Grab yourself a nice tasty beer from a knowledgeable staff and a delicious meal as well. 2061 Central Avenue, taphouse61.com. Shruvi Salon and Spa, T-R-U-V as in Victory, Y, Salon and Spa.com. 8908 4th Street North, Unit B. Make an appointment right online at Shruvi, T-R-U-V as in Victory, Y, Salon and Spa.com. Look good, feel good, get your hair did. Treat yourself. That's what I always say. And homemadepodcast.com, homemadepodcasts.com. I have a consulting service that I can help you create a podcast. If you're interested in learning how, what equipment you'll need, how to execute it, how to get it up on an RSS feed, I have that knowledge in my brain, and I'd be happy to share it with you for money. So check out my website over there at homemadepodcast.com. Make sure you subscribe and rate to this podcast. It only takes a second. Really helps us out if you give us a 5-star rating on there on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you get your casts. Just search HMB Radio Tampa Bay. Hit the subscribe button, and it will be in your feed every morning, every Tuesday morning at 6 a.m. I get up early, and I make sure that it's available for you. Get up at 5:30, quickly, you know, upload it. No, I'm just kidding. I don't do that. You can schedule them, thank God, because that would just be hell on earth if you had to actually upload them at 6 a.m. I can't imagine such a thing, frankly. And thank you for doing that. I appreciate you. I love you, and I want you to be happy. And I want to send you some stickers as well. So I have some cool HMB Radio stickers. If you search or just email me, I mean, your address, I will happily send some out to you on my dime. That's right, because I care about you and I love you, and I want you to have these stickers. The Homemade Broadcast at RadioSaintPete.com, and I will get some out to you. What else? That's it, right? We can start the show this week. We're talking all things offense. I'm offended that people are offended. Yeah, that's right. That's a hot take. That's a bold stance. But we got some people offended at jokes. We got some people offended at art. And then we got a lady who just likes booze. So let's get into it. The Homemade Broadcast here on RadioSaintPete.com and on podcast every Tuesday at HMBRadio.com. Here's another story about political correctness run awry. Last month, Richard LaBelle, a professor of political theory at King's College, found himself in a crowded elevator with Simona Sharoni, a professor of gender studies at Merrimack College, during an academic conference in San Francisco. Sharoni asked LaBelle, oh, this is in America too, good. Sharoni asked LaBelle what floor he needed, and he replied, ladies' lingerie. Obviously, an old joke that's been told over many, many years. And it's supposed to just kind of, I think at this point, you kind of get a, all right. It's just something to break the tension when you're stuck in an elevator with somebody for 30 seconds. But no, no, no. LaBelle later explained, according to the Chronicle of Higher Education, but Sharoni didn't think it was very funny. And she filed a complaint with the International Studies Association, whose conference they were both attending. An ISA committee found that LaBelle had indeed violated the group's code of conduct. This is one of my complaints with these fuddy-duddies, I guess, is that they seem to be intentionally naive of jokes. Now, jokes aren't always going to be funny. Sometimes you're going to bomb. I do it all the time on this podcast, as I'm sure you noticed. But it's the effort. At least I'm trying. And this guy was trying too. He was just trying to have a lighthearted little goof with a stranger at a conference they were both attending. Obviously, he's not trying to go to the woman's lingerie floor. But this woman is intentionally naive on purpose and offended because, I don't know, it's popular to be mad at dudes. I'm sure he's white as well. But, yeah, it's just a popular thing to do, a popular stance to take, and it gets results because every time people complain about this, people are punished for it, as LeBeau was. LeBeau tried to resolve the matter himself, and he wrote to Cerrone. He said he had no intention of making her uncomfortable, but stopped short of a full apology, which was his problem. Of course, you know, in these occasions, you have to kowtow and apologize immediately and really apologize. You have to grovel and at their feet. Otherwise, it's not good enough, you see. And that's part of the problem. He wrote her and said, "Like you, I am strongly opposed to the exploitation, coercion, or humiliation of women. As such evils continue, it seems to me to make sense to direct our attention to the real offenses, not those that are imagined or marginal. By making a complaint to the ISA, I consider frivolous, and I expect we'll be judged this way by the Ethics Committee. You may be directing time and effort away from real offenses that trouble us both." Yeah, this is not a good apology, dude, at all. Yeah, you gotta try a little harder than that. That's pretty much telling her, hey, I'm sorry you feel that way. And frig you, you're being stupid, is pretty much what that said. Which, by the way, I mean, he's kind of right. Am I right? I think I'm right. Cerrone, for her part, said she cannot remain silent about the misogyny at play. The Washington Post's Ruth Marcus offered this opinion, which seems right to me. This is according to the article, not really right to me, but I probably agree with it. Let's see. "This episode reflects not only a generational and cultural divide, but also an unfortunate intersection of two prickly personalities with bad luck to be stuck in the same elevator." Yeah, I agree. It sounds that way. "She shouldn't have leaped into the she shouldn't have leaped to file a grievance, and he shouldn't have added fuel by labeling her charges frivolous. Nonetheless, count me with LeBeau that the days of women feeling compelled to stay silent in the face of sexist remarks or conduct are thankfully on the way out. Hear something, say something, by all means. But for goodness sake, let's maintain some sense of proportion and civility as we figure out how to pick our way through the minefield of modern gender relations. Not every comment that offends was intended to be that way, and intent matters. Maybe check in with the speaker before going nuclear. Maybe consider that there is a spectrum of offenses, that there is not a stray statement by a 76-year-old man that warrants a resort to disciplinary procedures. A misguided elevator joke certainly seems like something that two adults could have handled on their own without formal investigation and the threat of sanction." I think that's absolutely right. We have to be able to joke around with each other. My goodness, how do you know what's going to offend? That's the thing with this offense, that it's causing offense is, I mean, that doesn't offend me at all, but I am a dude. And I think a lot of my lady friends wouldn't be offended by it either. I have a feeling most of them would kind of laugh it off because it's a silly joke. Don't be naive of jokes, and we got to stop this. There is a spectrum of offense. It's not just black or white. These people are being punished the same. I'm sure there's going to be calls for this dude's job, his livelihood, how he makes his money, supports his family, over a stupid little joke like this. This has to stop, and it will stop. People will demand it will stop. 813-693-2124 is the line here if you want to leave a text or a voice comment. What do you think about this? Is this just a joke, or was this guy kind of being a sexist douche? Let me know. 813-693-2124. I'm always hesitant to joke with people. You never know what's going to get you in trouble or what's not. I always feel like I'm going to say something that's just totally out of bounds. And I'm not even going to mean it because it's a joke, of course. But they have to know you to know it's a joke. That's the thing, too. People who tell me, oh my gosh, I had so many people, or many people anyways, come up and tell me, oh my gosh, how do I do stand-up comedy? Well, you go to the open mic and sign up and do it. Oh, I had, I was telling stories at work, and everybody was rolling. Everybody was saying I should do stand-up. Yeah, I mean, it's a lot different making people you know laugh than it is to make strangers laugh. That's a whole other creature there. That's the real skill. I mean, of course I encourage anybody to do it. I used to do it. I used to do stand-up for, you know, a couple years ago, and then I found out I wasn't good at it. I don't have the skills to make strangers laugh consistently, and not many of us do. Even the people that do stand-up comedy don't have that skill. But I certainly appreciate that they still try. And I think I think a lot of people can detect humor, but to be funny, that's a whole other, that's a top 1% type of the population as able to be consistently funny to everybody, mostly everybody anyways. Now it's, you know, that's a different story now with the way things have gone, but probably 1% is actually consistently funny and can do stand-up. I'm trying to think of a time that I said a joke that went awry, but I'm pretty cautious with it because I don't want to offend anybody, especially strangers at work. Oh my gosh, I've been working at my day job for 10 years, and I finally just got comfortable enough to joke around. I know where I can go with those people now, so now I'm free to I have free reign. So it's fun working there. At the radio job, still a little apprehensive to joke around in my full capacity with some of these people because I don't want to get fired. I've always been cautious of that. And it's really easy for that to happen, especially nowadays. You say the wrong thing, you're out on your butt, man. I don't want to lose that job. Hence why I haven't asked for a raise in many years. But that's a whole other story. But I'm trying to think of a time where I said a joke that just didn't go well, and I can't really think of one, which is probably boring for this podcast. But if you have one, I'd certainly love to hear it. 813-693-2124. I think the only thing that I can think of off the top of my head was, you know how your lady, your wife's, or your girlfriend's acquaintances that are ladies will sometimes ask how they look in this dress. How do I look? And you say, you look great. And then they'll say something like, does my butt look big? And then I'll always say, hell yeah, because that's what Turk says from Scrubs. It's not only a hilarious joke, because they will get a little bit offended, but only before they realize that it's a good thing that you said that and you're appreciative of that butt. But I've said that to a few girlfriends, and they initially get upset, and then you kind of have to explain it, and then they go, oh, okay. And it's an homage to Turk from Scrubs. And it works every time. Hilarious every time. So if you have a joke that didn't go well, didn't go as planned, leave it on my text or voice line at 813-693-2124. I'd love to hear about it. Zach Townsend is another one that I'm really kind of upset with right now. I do these videos, which are hilarious, by the way. If you're on Instagram, follow me at @home_made_man. I have this story set up on my page called Animal FUs. Now, I've been doing this for years. And it's basically you curse animals out. Hilarious, because they don't know what's going on. I started it back many, many years ago because my mom used to get really upset when I used to cuss at Penny, our cat. So I used to do it to upset her. Now, it's recently come back in fashion because I made a video a little while ago, and Zach Townsend was one of the ones that said, hey, that's pretty good. I said, thanks. So I started making stories out of it. But now, this idiot is claiming that I should give him credit. Now, I think he's joking, but it really is bothering me a little bit because I think he's kind of serious. He is one of these people that thinks that everybody is stealing jokes from him, which may be true in some cases, but this is certainly not one of those cases. And for him to say that, it is bothering me quite a bit because every time I post one, he says I need to give him credit for his idea, and it is absolutely infuriating. Unfortunately, I don't want to let him know that it is making me mad, because then it'll just happen more, of course, unless he happens to listen to this episode. But comedy's a, you know, near dear thing. You know what I mean? You want what's yours, you know? You want to keep what's yours. You want to cherish it. And you want to watch it grow. And this idiot is out there claiming that this is his. Now, not publicly, of course, just to me. But it is, I don't get really annoyed or offended at much, but this is grossly offensive to me. I don't know how to confront him about it and be like, hey, you need to stop because it is really bothering me. Because like I said, it's only going to garner more of it. It's not going to stop it by any means. He's a piece of garbage. He's not going to stop with that. I think he's more, I don't know. Obviously, he's just doing it to mess with me, and he knows how to grind my gears, as they say. But yeah, comedy's a near, dear, precious thing to me. And especially when it's a good idea like this one. By the way, go check it out. Hilarious. You're going to laugh your butt off. Home_made_man, animal FUs. It's just a collection of me telling random street animals to go take a hike. Great stuff. Leave a message, 813-693-2124 for your bad jokes. Also, I still am collecting those the funniest thing that's ever happened to you. Stories. We did get a few messages. Thank you to those who left those. I appreciate it. I am collecting them because I'm going to make a podcast out of them down the line. So, yeah, if you haven't yet, 813-693-2124 is the line. You know what the better idea is? This is what I'm finding, too, is that I don't know if people are worried about the time, that they're not going to get the time right on these things, or they'll get cut off or something. Or if they're just not good storytellers, which is a possibility, too. That's a skill in its own right, and I totally understand that. So I'm not, you know, upset or anything by any means. But if you're worried about time, just take your phone, click the voice memo, and just tell your story, record it that way, and then email it to me. That would work, too, in an MP3 format to thehomemadebroadcast@radiosaintpete.com. And if you missed that email, just go to my website at hmbradio.com, click the contact page, and I'll have my email there. That's probably a better way to do it. But it also might be, like I said, just because people aren't good storytellers, which is a skill I totally understand. Not mad at you. But thank you to those who have already left their funniest thing that's ever happened to them voicemail. Because I'm going to collect them, and down the line, I'm going to put out an entire podcast of just hilarious stories that people have had happen to them. And it should be great stuff, I'm sure. But there's plenty of other things to be offended at besides comedy, aside from comedy. And you know what? That's art. I got to tell you, I'm sick of these artists portraying things that are just not 100% historical. In a historical, accurate representation of the time. That's right. No, I don't really think that. But Creative Loafing put out an article this week that the James Museum of Western Art and something else is problematic. It just opened down here in St. Pete pretty recently, I think this month or last month. Let's just read. Let's go through this article real quick. I've tried a few different ways to say it, but none are politically, or whatever we're calling it, correct. Simply put, the James Museum is offensive. So the James Museum is a collection of art from the West, I don't know, the West side of the planet, of the United States. It's the dude, Mr. James, what's his name, Randall or something, and his wife. Let's call her Betty James. The Jameses lived out west for a period of time, and they're super rich, and what they did was they bought art from local artists out there. Not just art that is valuable, although I'm sure they collect quite a bit of that too, but they actually bought art out west and opened a museum of this collection that they accumulated over many years, and opened a West Museum. So it's kind of cool. It's kind of promoting those people who are, you know, not famous and kind of just showing their work out here in St. Petersburg. So she saw this museum on Media Day. And this is back to the article. When I made my way past the lobby, where I was directed to take a look at the brothel-esque style bar in the gift shop, she squirmed, but she took deep breaths. Did not want to be a social justice warrior, she thought to herself. She'll save that for her article. A bar reminiscent of a venue of painted ladies in high heels dancing to jaunty piano as they fell sweetly into the stereotype of the West. Did not a xenophobe make. What? Okay. And so I went up the stairs past the gorgeous fountain and wait. Is that a statue of a man dressed in feathers? No! I must be mistaken. Upstairs, my senses were immediately arrested by statues of men in various states of hunting, some clad in feathers, some in furs, all cast in iron, or something like it. Swallowing her bile, whoa! I asked a pleasant enough docent to direct me to the gallery of native art. This is something I've noticed with white progressives, and it's that anything white or European is off-putting. They don't want to look at that. They've been looking at it their entire lives. They want to look at real art, which is, you know, anything else but white. So that's what she was gunning for in this museum. She wanted to see some Native American art because that's the real stuff. So they did do that for her. They passed many contemporary pieces, and she says that they should have goddamn known better because it was paintings of war-painted, feather-wearing savages spiking their spears in the buffalo, the gold-edged, ornate frames. And she noted images of a 1970s era Amera wherever SNL lobby. So did the imagery of the white man subduing the red menace? So she doesn't like the fact that in this painting, that is not, it's not historically correct. Or, you know, frankly, it probably is historically correct to a certain extent. Our forefathers in this country fought Native Americans for 400 years. It was a bloody, bloody battle that lasted a long time. They were a hell of an opponent, I'll tell you that much. And it took us a long time to win that war. And I don't know. I guess it's just, you know, that's the thing. They just want the sugary stuff. The white people are bad, and they slaughtered. And everybody knows that. I've been told that since I was a little kid in school. There's not this reaching for, I don't know, how cool white people are or something. Like, I've been told since I was a little kid, even in school, that we did some pretty heinous stuff to the Indians. Everybody knows that. So she eventually gets to this place called the Jewelry Box, a room of stones made by these indigenous people, bought by a wealthy couple and worn to impress with no context offered as to their origin, meaning of each type of mineral on display. I don't think you necessarily have to. I don't know. I mean, it just doesn't seem like that big of a deal to me. But there has to be context. Apparently, it just can't be a nice bracelet. Later, when the media gathered, and devouring his every word, collection owner Tom James, that's his name, joked, "My wife, like many of you, likes jewelry." She looked around. Of the 23 people in the room, 16 were women, and she was the only one who flinched, at least outwardly. Spoiler here. Ladies like jewelry. The vast majority do. Not all of them, of course. You could be the exception to the rule. But a super lot amount of ladies like jewelry. So that's probably why he was spoken that out. And nobody really got offended by it. But this is not all. We had adequate time to browse the other galleries, and yes, there's a Warhol, and yes, there are some magnificent pieces from local artist James Michael hanging in the same gallery. But in that gallery as well, there are images from Disney's Toy Story, images of Hollywood icons that we believe the West to be in the 1930s, 40s, and 50s, And what absent is context? Why nothing told me as I wandered from the hall, wall to wall, this is not the West. This is instead how we viewed the West, largely inaccurately through stereotypes and misconceptions. Art doesn't have to be totally representative of what actual history was. That's never been the case. It's always been hyperbole. And it's always been, I don't know, art for art's sake. It doesn't always have to be totally historically accurate. I don't understand the argument here for this. Can't it just be this guy, you know, he's a nice guy, bought works from local. I'd also be very curious to know how many of the local artists he purchased from are of Native American descent. I bet you it's quite a few. That's just a total guess. But my gut's telling me that I bet you many of them are Native American descent. So I don't know. I mean, geez, we're getting so mad at creativity. This is the only thing that keeps us sane, I think, is art. Whether it's comedy or whether it's visual art, we should be appreciative of this stuff. You don't have to like it, but you have to at least appreciate the craftsmanship of some of this stuff. Yeah, I'm sorry comedy and art don't tell history exactly how it went down verbatim, because it's not funny. It's not interesting a lot of the times. I mean, history's interesting to some people, but not everybody. But everybody can kind of appreciate a painting for the most part, or appreciate a joke. You know, it's not meant to explain. It's meant to express feeling. Am I crazy here? I don't know. It's everybody's offended at freaking everything now. It's insane. 813-693-2124 is the voice line here. What do you think? Is the James Museum offensive? Have you ever been offended by a piece of art or a comedy? How did you deal with it? Did you move on with your life like a normal human being? Or did you get upset and you want it to be known? I fully have the lines open here for you to express your grief if you've ever been offended by a piece of art. 813-693-2124. Some weird local news that made national news this week. Florida woman busted for calling 911 to get beer. Boy, if that only worked. By the way, there is a service that you can do that. You download the app. It's called like Boozy or something, and then you can order, you know, beers to come to your house. So just do that next time. Although I'm not sure if it works here. I think it only works in a few cities right now, so maybe not. So, all right, yeah, give 911 a call, see what happens when you order some beer. A Florida woman was arrested on Friday after cops said she falsely called 911 claiming a medical emergency. Turns out that Jennifer Sue Roberts' emergency was she needed a beer, WFLA reported, citing an arrest affidavit. The 57-year-old called 911 twice just after 12 noon and just before 4 p.m. Boy, she's hammered at noon. That's a professional drinker right there, boy. Claiming that she had a medical emergency, according to the Tampa Bay Times, Roberts reportedly appeared intoxicated when paramedics arrived after the second call. How did she not get arrested after the first call? Isn't that like a big-time offense? You can't really do that. People could die if you do that. Pinellas County Sheriff's Office records seemingly indicate that Roberts, who also reportedly goes by Jennifer Sue Sunday, has been accused numerous times of dialing 911 without an emergency. WFLA reports she's made 28 false calls since January. The St. Petersburg woman was released Saturday on her own recognizance. I kind of understand where this lady's coming from, though. I mean, she's an older lady. I mean, I'm sure she's been drinking professionally for many, many years. But I was so hungover on Monday that I wanted to call 911. To bring me a beer, to get some hair of the dog in me, because I felt like that was the only thing that was going to help me with this hangover. It was an emergency, but luckily I knew better than to do that than this lady, or I wasn't drunk enough yet, or still. But I've been there. I went to the baseball game on Sunday, the Rays game, and that was an early game. It was a 12 o'clock game. It was a great sports day in Tampa Bay on Sunday. You had the Rays playing, and then you had the game 5 of the Eastern Conference, I don't know, what do you call it, semifinals? It was the Boston and Lightning going at it in game five, and they closed them out in five games. It didn't look like they were gonna, because Boston came out really strong. I think they won like 6-1 or something like that, and I was like, oh boy. But they ended up whooping that ass the last four games and ended up winning the game. So, you know, I'm obviously going to drink at the baseball game. It's early, so we get there a little early at 12:30 and have a beer and sit at the bar for most of the game and drink beers and then go over to my friend's house where we decided to watch the hockey game, and that went on till, you know, 6 o'clock. And then we decided, well, we might as well go to the bar because that seems like a reasonable idea when the work week starts on Monday. So, yeah, I didn't get home until midnight. And I felt like it's weird how hangovers work, though, because sometimes you can drink your head off and be fine the next day. But if your body chemistry isn't right, if you don't have the right, depends if you eat, it depends how much water you drink. But sometimes that won't do it for you either. I mean, when you're drinking 12 hours like that, I haven't done that in a long, long time. So, I mean, I knew I was screwed before I went to bed. That a 12-hour day, yeah, that's going to, I'm going to be hurting tomorrow. There's no way around this. And I went to work. I felt like I don't barf or anything from being hungover, but I definitely just feel a general malaise that that day is just gone. You can't do anything, you know. It's going to be a miserable, it's going to be a sludge trying to get through the day. I almost puked. I felt like I was going to, but I didn't. I stuck it through the day. I came home and took a nice nap, and that was the only thing that got me through. I just said, you just had to wait it out. There was nothing you could do. But if I could call 911 and get them to deliver me a beer, that really would have been a lifesaver. It's something to think about, you know, a revenue earning system. I would have happily paid $10 for a beer plus the delivery fee, whatever that was at the time. That would have got me going, ready to start the day. But, you know, something to think about, something to kick around. 813-693-2124 is the phone number. You have any good hangover stories? You ever done anything embarrassing or, you know, I want to hear your drinking stories, too. That would be another podcast that would be really fun to do. Good drunk stories. So if you have any of those, take a voice memo on your phone and email it to me at thehomemadebroadcast@radiosaintpete.com or leave it on the voice message line at 813-693-2124. So collecting hilarious stories that have happened and good drunk stories now. Yes, let's officially do it. Those would be two future podcasts. 813-693-2124. All right, there we go. Homemade Broadcast. This week is in the books. Sorry you had to listen to me read out loud. It's tough for me, too. I always apologize to you, but I feel bad. And I want you to know that I appreciate you putting up with it and appreciate you listening. Even so, some of this happens from time to time when I'm either too lazy or unable to book a guest that week. Sometimes it's a little bit of both, like it was this week. But, you know, it's always a pleasure talking to you regardless. This has been the Homemade Broadcast. If you're listening on Radio St. Pete, stay tuned. Frank Rivera's Jazz Show is coming up next. If you're listening on a Sunday evening, the Indie Circuit after that. If you're listening on podcasts, hey, appreciate it. Make sure you tell a friend, subscribe, rate, give a 5-star rating. It helps me out tremendously. Check out Stay Woke at Midnights on 102.5 The Bone here locally in Tampa Bay, thebononline.com. You can get the app if you need it, so you can listen whenever you want on demand. It's pretty neat. Pretty convenient, you know. Get these stickers. Email me, thehomemadebroadcast@radiosaintpete.com. Send me your address, and I will ship some out to you ASAP. I want you to have them. It's the least I could do, really. I guess that's it, you know. Were you offended? I certainly hope not. Do you want a beer, though, now? Probably. I do. If you want to get in contact with the show, voice text line again, 813-693-2124. Don't forget to send me your funniest thing that's ever happened to you and your drunk stories. Did you do something embarrassing? Have you ever seen a drunk person do something that was crazy? I want to hear about it. That's going to be a future podcast right there. 813-693-2124. My name is Will Koontz. This has been the Homemade Broadcast. This is HMB Radio on Radio St. Pete. Have a fantastic week, and I'll hopefully speak with you next week. I sure hope so. Bye-bye.
Problems. It's human nature to hate problems. But why is that? After all, problems inspire us to mend things, bend things, make things better. That's why so many people work with IBM on everything, from city traffic to ocean plastic, new schools to new energy, flight delays to food safety. Smart loves problems. IBM. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/smart/UK to learn more. Problems. It's human nature to hate problems. But why is that? After all, problems inspire us to mend things, bend things, make things better. That's why so many people work with IBM on everything, from city traffic to ocean plastic, new schools to new energy, flight delays to food safety. Smart loves problems. IBM. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/smart/UK to learn more.